news time.
Hey guys, it's great to see you. I've been really looking forward to starting this series in Mark for some years now. That's not true, but for some months now, we've been really looking forward to it. We've got rid of Mount Sinai and we got the crown of thorns because in like a few years, we're going to get to Mark 14 and 16. 14, 15 and 16, and we're going to see Jesus, our King, be nailed to the cross as he dies for us, which is truly the best news, but you can get keen for that. We're starting off with the good news of Jesus today in Mark chapter 1. And I've got to ask the question, like, do we actually care about the news? Because I don't think so. I'm trying to. I've got a new widget on my phone that, like, tells me news highlights every day. So I look at my phone, and look at that. You've got two highlights there just at the top. Can we go to the first two? Next one, Jonty. Look at that. That's really depressing. Half Australians on financial brink as living costs bite. And extreme weather grips the globe as heat waves and wildfires rage. Like, we open the news and we have a look at what's going on and we get a little, like, overwhelmed. It's almost, like, sad and depressing. And even if it's, like, kind of not sad or depressing, it doesn't change our lives and we don't care. Like, here's the next one. Any tennis fans in the house? Yeah, sick. See, exactly. No one cares. this is like the only, I've for the last week have been screenshotting morning, evening and night the news on the widgets on the phone. And this was the only one that wasn't like remotely sad. And it was just that some tennis player wins as the other one loses.
The bottom one's pretty sad.
And the bottom one is sad as well. Yeah, yeah. Like that is, as in of the two, every single time there was only sad and depressing news or news that we didn't care about. And I wonder if, as we think that Jesus is the good news of Jesus, which is life-changing and everything, as we hear this and as we hear the news of Jesus at Youth on Fridays or maybe some of us in Scripture at school or things like that, we might hear this message and it comes and goes straight over our heads because we don't even think about it or we don't even think that it's actually important for us or life-changing for us. But I want to say today that as Mark starts off his gospel, he wants this to be life-changing news as we read this. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. See, there is so much in this book that we're about to unpack that is entirely relevant for us, that is entirely life-changing. And I pray that as we go through Mark over the coming weeks, we are struck with his power, with his care, with his love, with his patience, with his authority, as we see the words and the person of Jesus emerge from the pages of Scripture we're holding in our hands right now, I pray that this isn't news that you scroll past or ignore, but that changes you deeply, forever. So heaven, I pray that God will do that now. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the news of Jesus, which entirely changes us in every way. And we ask now that as we hear, we wouldn't just let the truth roll over our heads and not pay it a second thought, but would you transform us now by what you have to say, knowing that the news of Jesus is truly good news. Amen. So firstly, this is good news that has been a long time coming. Centuries and centuries and centuries coming. We see this in verses 2 to 3 there. I'll read verse 1 as well. This is the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I'll send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. What Mark is quoting here are scriptures that were written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus. We're reading Mark quoting some of the book of Malachi and some of the book of Isaiah, if you're familiar with your Old Testament, as these guys show what's going to be happening. That there's someone who's going to come, who's going to kind of like prepare the way for God himself to come. That there's someone who's going to come and do pretty incredible things, but that those incredible things will pale in comparison to the Lord himself. We see John the Baptist kind of come to set the scene for Jesus. And it has been waited for ages and ages and ages. And finally, he he shows up. Like, imagine that you've heard about this long and distant promise to your family. Like, someone said to your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather or something that one day someone's going to come and just give you $1 trillion. Unrealistic promise, just bear with me for the sake of like waiting, right? You've heard that promise was made generations ago, like 1,000 years ago, and you're waiting, but you're not really thinking it's actually going to happen. Like, so many people have lived and died and lived and died and lived and died since then. There's no way that that's actually legit. There's no way that that's going to happen, especially when you haven't heard from anyone in ages. And we've seen by this point in history, when John the Baptist shows up to prepare the way for Jesus, we've seen about 400 years since God has even spoken to his people. And we've seen a few thousand years since he made these promises, like one in Genesis chapter 3, that there would be someone who would come and who would destroy evil, a human who would destroy the head of the serpent, but who would be bit on the heel. We saw a promise to the man named Abraham, promise of land and family and blessing, and that God would use this one man and all of his kids to bless the entire world. We're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. And we've heard the promise, like the one to King David in 2 Samuel 7, that one of his sons would sit on the throne forever. And we wait another 1,500 years. God's people have been waiting for the prophecies to be fulfilled. And it might sound all mysterious or mystical or whatever, like there's prophecies fulfilled, but that's actually what has happened, because the good news of Jesus is a long time coming. There's disappointment for centuries, as it seems like the king is never going to come. Now, I tried to think of like some sort of like movie that we'd all be familiar with that has prophecies. And I always do Star Wars or Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings. And so I tried really hard to find one that didn't have a prophecy being fulfilled. And I came up with this. Who's seen the Lego movie? Good, good, correct. I, in 2014, took my entire family, I was an adult, to the opening screening of this, and it was so good. This is Emmett, and Emmett is the chosen one. There were prophecies long ago that someone would come who would be pretty normal in features, who wouldn't have many other powers, but who would be used to defeat Lord Business. Lord Businessman? Lord Business. Lord Business, thank you, Rachel. It's been quite some time, I'm really sorry. But someone who has seemingly no abilities, but will turn up and will save. This is, don't push the illustration too far, this is Jesus. Someone who people have been waiting for years and for years and for years, and who is going to turn up and who is going to save. This is the good news that God's people have been waiting for centuries to see. And so what is this good news? We're going to see this good news is actually something that appears a little weird, that appears a little strange. Read with me, verse 4 to 6. If you don't have your Bibles open, get them open. Mark 1, 4 to 6. So John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, ate locusts and wild honey. Now that is not an image that you would be used to seeing, right? That is objectively a really strange image. It'd be like if someone came off the train from Western Sydney and then went up to the gates of St. Ives High School, like dressed in, like dressed like a farmer and eating nothing but bush turkeys. Like it's a really, really strange image. This is someone who you would hear what they have to say and you'd almost write it off completely, right? You'd have to work really hard to go, that message that they're saying is actually true. But that's the case. What John was saying is actually true. You'd have to be slow, you would be slow to believe what he has to say, but if he's telling the truth, then you would listen to everything he had to say. Now, that's absolutely not like this guy who you might have seen on Sydney trains before. Can we see him, please, Jonty? Who's seen this man before, just on the train? So weird. As I looked up that picture, real weird guy. Don't look at too many of his things. But he's always like, he's got a message on his shirt, and the way he delivers the message seems really weird. And this this message, Smile for Peace, that's all right. That's pretty good. Some of the other messages that he has on his like signboards are very, very strange. You would be really slow to think, yeah, this guy is actually on about something real. This guy is actually on about something that would change my life. This guy is actually on about something that has anything really to do with me. John the Baptist had something that was so much more worthy of sharing than this guy. John the Baptist had the news of Jesus. He's preparing the way for the one to come. And while the prophet might look a little strange, the message itself of Jesus is really quite strange. Have a look. There's a few words in there that we don't really recognize usually. There's baptism, there's repentance, there's forgiveness, and there's sins. There's some of these things that we don't really talk about. And so if you're writing notes, I'm going to give you a super speedy definition of baptism, of repentance, of forgiveness, and of sins. And if you don't get it in one go, you can just listen to the audio later. Baptism, an outward act that signifies inward change. An outward act that signifies inward change. Repentance, fully switching your life 180 degrees to go from living for yourself to living for Jesus. Forgiveness, cancelled punishment that you deserved. And sins, where you reject the creator of the universe and say, shove off God, I am in charge, not you. This is a weird message. The messenger was a little weird, but actually the news of Jesus is a little strange. It might be strange to this world, and it might be strange to our hearts that want nothing more than to live for ourselves. Because if we're following Jesus, we will do the following. We will firstly admit that we need forgiving, like Israel did here. Israel were kind of recognizing that they needed the Savior to come. They were recognizing that they'd lived lives for themselves instead of for God. And so when John the Baptist was doing his baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, they were like, sign me up. I am someone who is broken. I am someone who needs help. I am someone who needs a Savior. And that's a weird message to say. Following Jesus means following a king who's not yourself. It means actually saying no to yourself and submitting to someone else. That is weird. Following Jesus means that you're actually loved with a love that you didn't earn, a love that you didn't kind of get for yourself, a love that you don't deserve. Following Jesus means that you are loved. And following Jesus means that you stand out in the world. It's a message that is weird. It might seem weird, but it is a message that is true and that is truly good news for you and for me. This is real news because Jesus isn't just someone, isn't just some other crazy guy that came out of the wilderness wearing weird things, eating weird things. Jesus is God himself who chose to enter our world, who chose to willingly die for his people, who chose to love when no one else would. This isn't vague news we scroll past. This is actually good news for you and for me and for this world. And not just like theoretical good news, but no, it is life-giving, identity-defining, purpose-transforming, and eternity-changing good news. Life-giving, identity-defining, purpose-transforming, eternity-changing good news. It's life-giving because Jesus literally died in your place so that you can live. It's identity defining because through faith in him, you are made completely new and you are made a child of the living God who loves you. It's purpose transforming because he calls you to follow him and to serve the king that is not yourself. And it's eternity changing because through trusting in Jesus, you no longer have to worry about what will happen after you die. You no longer have to fear the judgment of God that you rightfully deserve. Your eternity is entirely and utterly changed. And so the news of Jesus, while it might seem strange, is good. It's good for you. It's good for me. And I want us to think about how it is actually good for our world. How the news of Jesus is actually good for your friends and for your family. We often talk about, oh yeah, like, chat to your friends about Jesus. Go invite your friends to youth. But I want us to remember why we want that. That's because the news of Jesus truly is good news for us. And the news of Jesus truly is good news for others. So we're going to think about why that is, and here are some pictures to show why this is. Can someone who I didn't tell this on Friday explain the link between these three pictures, please? There is a podcast, some goldfish, and a ceiling fan. Sorry? There's a circle, so no, there's no real link. I'll explain it for the sake of actually understanding. I've been listening to this podcast. It's called Youth Group Chronicles. It's two American youth pastors that just kind of like chat about stupid things that have happened in youth ministry. And let's be real, in the last 12 months, you could probably name like 30 different things that would be pretty good stories for a podcast or something like that. That's just one church, and America is so much more cooked than us. So they share a lot of weird things that are happening in youth groups. And there was a season in like maybe 2012 or so when like MySpace was a thing, probably a little before then, where all of these youth pastors in America would all do the same illustration, where they would get, I'm not going to actually do it for the sake of not getting hated by people and for the sake of loving God's creation. They would have a fish tank right here, right, on the stage, and they would get out of the fish tank like 6 or 7 goldfish and just send them into the congregation. Not good. Who thinks that the youth would actually pick up the goldfish and put them back in the fish tank? It happens some of the times. Who thinks that sometimes the youth would be in such shock that they would just sit there and watch the goldfish die? That happened sometimes as well. And then the pastor would end with like, the urgency that you just showed in rescuing these fish should be the urgency that you save your friends. So like the idea is like we have this life-giving message, right, that we want people to know, and without it, they'll die. Now the ceiling fan comes in where one youth pastor was a little overzealous and just didn't factor it into the trajectory of the throw. Just anyway, it was not good. I didn't want to do the actual illustration, but I thought the actual example of the life-giving message of Jesus and wanting people to have life is actually really helpful. That our friends that we love are actually going, without Jesus, to perish and to die and to face the judgment of God. And so we should actually be desperate for our friends to know Jesus and to love Jesus, because Jesus has loved us so well. And here are three ways that you can do that. We're not going to spend too much time in them now, but we will over the next few weeks. We're going to pray. We're going to pray regularly for our friends who don't know Jesus. Next week, we'll think about how to pray by name for people and how to be in regular habits of praying for our friends that don't know Jesus. We're going to have deeper conversations with people. So not just talking about surface level rubbish, but actually be real with people and actually love people well. And then we are going to love people well. Our actions are going to back up what we're saying, so that the way that we relate to people would actually adorn the news that we are saying and make the news that we are sharing all the more beautiful. You might be able to have a chat in growth groups on Friday about how you could actually be doing this, but I really want us to think about how we do this. Because it's not just something to kind of talk about and then keep to ourselves. But the news of Jesus is so good for you and for me and for our friends. It's good because we have friends around us who are dying that need the life-giving message of Jesus. We have friends around us, people at school, who are struggling to know who they are, that actually need the identity that Jesus provides. We have people we'll meet in life that feel aimless or directionless, who need the purpose-transforming good news of Jesus. And we have people who are focusing and worrying on the here and now, on the next 60 or 70 years, who are going to face eternity, facing the judgment of God, unless they receive and trust in the good news of Jesus. Friends, Jesus loves us. Jesus died for us. Let's follow him and take this good news to the world. I'm going to ask that God would help us do so now. Father, thank you for the life-giving, identity-defining, purpose-transforming, eternity-changing news of Jesus. Help us take this news to the world. Give us confidence, give us peace, give us hope, give us the words to speak, give us love that we may help people come to know and to trust and follow the King. Amen.